The following is an unrehearsed interview with United States Senator Chuck Grassley speaking to you from Washington, D.C. Participating in today's public affairs program are Ryan Long of KICD Radio in Spencer and Paige Godden of the Indianola Record Herald. The first question will come from KICD's Ryan.
Well, good afternoon, Senator. I do thank you for taking a minute here with us. I just want to congratulate. I was kind of looking through here, and I saw you recently became the 17th senator to take part in 12,000 votes. When you see that number and kind of hear that number, what does that make you think?
Makes me think I've been in the Senate a long time, and I can't remember all 12,000 issues I voted on. And I probably got some of them that if I went back over it, I'd want to take back. But I try to maintain a very vigorous voting record. And that's better explained not by the 12,000, but by the 7,000, roughly 475 or so, that I haven't missed a single vote since 1993. I'm trying to tell people that I'm on the job when we're in session. And when I'm not in session, I'm trying to tell them I'm on the job when I'm home in Iowa, by holding town meetings in every county every year for 35 years in a row. Paige?
Yeah, this morning, Senator, Fox News posted a story about you launching an investigation into long-term paid leaves for employees facing internal probes and disciplinary actions. Can you explain what's going on with that?
Yeah, we don't have the answers, but I've got a sure good intellectual basis for following up as I'm doing, because we start with a government accountability office report, and you know they're nonpartisan, they're part of Congress, but they got a good reputation for just getting to the bottom of facts. They've studied a lot of agencies that have abused administrative leave. And by the way, they would demonstrate hundreds of millions of dollars being wasted. For instance, right now, 2% in the VA employees seem to be on administrative leave. So we're concentrating on a few agencies like the VA and like Department of Homeland Security, where they have a high number of people that are on administrative leave for over a year. Now, what we're trying to find out is why. We're probably going to pursue legislation that changes the policies that are pretty much based upon just administrative rulings by the Office of Personnel Management in the White House, and try to get some uniformity. But we got to stop this waste of money. So we're zeroing in on the fact, is this a crutch for managers not making decisions? Or is it just a crutch to give more people time off and use another excuse for it? Now, these things I can't answer except for the supposition that it's just managers not willing to make decisions. It probably also speaks to the point, though, and I'm not sure that we'll get too deeply into this aspect of it, but it also speaks to the point that sometimes it's difficult to fire federal employees. And so people maybe choose the route of administrative leave as one substitute for managers not making the toughest of decisions. Back to Ryan.
Yeah, thank you, Senator. I was reading a story here on the wire noting it said that Senator Pat Roberts out of Kansas placed a hold on the secretary nominee for the Secretary of Army, Eric Fanning, and that's apparently to prevent the White House from taking executive action to close Guantanamo Bay and transfer detainees to the U.S., I was just wondering if you could maybe give a little comment on that tactic, and as far as is that the right way to go about things, and what you feel about the action that's being proposed.
Well, I have put holds on nominees. As of now, you know that Pat Roberts does it. You probably know why he did it, because you said so. For the first 20 years that I was in the United States Senate, there was probably no way you could find out who had a hold if unless you had the inside. And I've never So Senator Wyden and I got on a campaign maybe 15 years ago, and quite frankly, it took us a long time to get it right, that there was nothing wrong with holes, but secret holes were wrong. Wrong because government shouldn't be secret unless it's national security, and wrong because if somebody's got a hold on something and they want to change things, or they want to use it as pressure for some other reason, you ought to know who they are so you can sit down and talk to them. So we now have rules in the United States Senate that Senator Wyden and I got adopted, I don't know, this 5, 6, 7 years ago, that you have to put a statement in the record of why you put a hold on. And I've been doing that for a long time before the rule went into effect, because I'm not afraid to tell people why I'm putting a hold on. So I would get back then to the merits of what he's talking about. And he's talking about Guantanamo shouldn't be open. In his case, he's probably would put that hold on because he's heard rumors these terrorists might go to someplace in Kansas. I'm interested in this issue because at least a while back, we thought they might go to Thompson across the river from Clinton in Illinois and then be a problem for Iowans. We don't want those people around. We're talking about the people that's been involved in killing 3,000 people 9/11/01. And so I think Guantanamo ought to be kept open. And I'm sure that Roberts feels the same way. Paige?
Last week, Representative David Young was actually in the area on an ag tour, and he was speaking about introducing legislation to reverse a budget measure in the House that stripped $3 billion from federal crop insurance. Is there anything you can do about this at this point, or what's your role in this?
Well, I would imagine that if it was last weekend, he was probably talking about what's the possibilities now. Yes. Officially, the president has signed a bill that $3 billion would come out of crop insurance, which would very much hurt crop insurance and be unfair to farmers, because farmers pay 60% of the crop insurance, and in turn, that means the taxpayers pay 40%, which gets farmers, 92% of them in Iowa, to manage their risk, and second, is much fairer to the taxpayers than the way we handle other disasters like earthquakes, floods and hurricanes, and you know, even big snowstorms like we had last year in Boston. The president declares a natural disaster, and the taxpayers subsidize it 100%, not just 40%. So, if we destroy crop insurance by not encouraging farmers to buy it, farmers are going to say, well, let's go back to the pre-crop insurance ages. We'll wait until we have a natural disaster, let the taxpayers pay 100% of it. So we want to keep crop insurance for all those reasons implied in what I just said. Then the bottom line of it is that this $3 billion officially right now is out, but we have been promised by the leadership of the United States Senate and House that we can find that $3 billion someplace else instead of in crop insurance. So the Agriculture Committee will set about doing that, and we should be able to preserve crop insurance. Now, that's based upon promises that were made. I found sometimes promises aren't kept. So keep that in the back of your mind. Ryan?
Yeah, I did see, I believe that you had one of your Iowa delegation breakfast this morning, correct?
Yes, we did have.
I was just wondering, how did that go? Anything come out of there that that you might want to share out there with the public?
Well, I'd have to say this morning it wasn't intended to be social, because normally we conduct a lot of business. Like the last meeting we had, we conducted a lot of Iowa business dealing with Medicaid, as an example. But there wasn't anything discussed, so I don't have anything to report. But listen, it's important that we have those meetings until Congressman Smith of Des Moines was defeated roughly 94. They were held every month. Then they lapsed into obscurity. They're coming back now. I think it's a good thing. Paige, if you can quickly give me a short question, I'll be glad to respond to it.
I was listening to the Des Moines Register's podcast they're doing on Iowa caucuses, and it mentioned your friendship with Bob Dole and introducing him in the 1996 caucuses. What's the best moment you've had in the caucuses so far?
I think George W. Bush winning in the year 2000. Now, let me say this. I have always felt, because I was a Republican leader, that I should not go to my own caucus, New Hartford, Iowa. So I have never done that. So what I do on caucus night, I go around to different caucuses, sometimes Waterloo, sometimes Des Moines, sometimes Cedar Rapids, and try to talk to as many Republicans as I can about the importance of whoever we nominate, working hard to get them elected president that particular year. Thank you, Ryan and Paige, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.